Yeah, let's give it up for Liquid IV.
Yeah.com,
baby. Promo code Nooners over there is going to get you 20% off your first order. Rage this weekend, jobless on accident. I feel like it was an accidental rage this weekend.
Yeah.
And I needed some Liquid IV to start off the day. I start every day with a Liquid IV. Our kids are using Liquid IV.
Yes.
They've got the new and improved sugar-free Liquid IVs as well. And Pear is back. Pear is back. That's my favorite. Pear was my favorite there. Big fan. But hanging out, watching sports, hanging out with the friends and all that other stuff. You start boozing, you lose track of time, and then you're like, oh, shit. I need to rehydrate for the week. Got to pop in that Liquid IV. Are you a daily girl? Because I don't see you every single morning all the time.
Yeah, I'm a daily girl. So I do one of the sugar-free grapes or the sugar-free apple, which are my new faves, in 24 ounces.
Okay.
So it is supposed to be just in, they say, like, put a packet in 16 ounces.
16 ounces of water.
And that's going to hydrate you double. I put in the 24 ounce, maybe onesie or twosie.
Yeah.
And go through the day.
Yeah,
it's life changing.
I call it Hydration Monday here on the show because it's one of those things where, again, you go hard over the weekends, you got the kids, you're not eating great, you're boozing with some friends or whatever, and then boom, reset on Mondays, pop in the Liquid IV, and you're good to go. But it's a little pouch, that's it. You're ripping open, popping into liquid, 16 ounces or more. And you're good to go. Super easy there. Three times the electrolytes. No artificial sweeteners. 8 vitamins and nutrients. Non-GMO and free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Weekends are for going wild. Have a game plan for Monday with Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Superior Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! J-Ball.
Oh. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Sometimes it looks to come in real sharp.
Yeah.
Sharp like a razor, fast like a train.
Coming in hot.
Wasn't that what they said in the Johnny Cash movie? Sharp like a train, like a razor, fast like a train.
Yeah.
I could have just made that up also.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. But sometimes I like to come in real, I like to catch you.
Yeah.
I really like to get you before you stuff
you like
that
to
last
come for me.
Piece of chocolate into your mouth.
It's dark chocolate.
I know it is. I know it is. But I can hear it. I can hear every last chew of it. The audience can't, but I can.
Okay.
So sometimes I like to come in sharp like a razor, faster than a train. What's up, Japes?
Nothing.
Yeah? You bullshitting?
No.
Seems like you're bullshitting tonight. Khloe Kardashian's pregnant now.
I'm bullshitting.
2 days, what, 2 days apart? 3 days apart? Khloe's now pregnant? Come on.
Interesting.
The world of the Jablers is really turned on its ear.
Is the Kardashians my world?
Part of your world.
No.
A lot of your day depends on, you know,
their whole shit.
What happens to them? And that quote, by the way, of Kris Jenner, who did that quote? I love it.
What?
The devil's working harder.
Oh yeah. The devil works hard, but Kris Jenner
works even harder.
Fucking yeah. Killing it.
God, that's, it's a really funny quote.
I think
quote.
I saw it on like My Therapist or Betches, but it's everywhere. It's once it's on Fat Jewish.
The devil is working hard, but Kris Jenner is working harder. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fucking truth. It is the fucking truth. You want to talk about eating up the news cycle? It's almost like she's in a competition with Trump of like, hey, we can just dominate the news every single hour of the day.
Yeah.
it's either a Trump story or a Kardashian story. And I got to be honest with you. She's going, Kris Jenner is going hard. When you have Khloe, I mean, Khloe's finally having a baby. She was fucking married too for, what, 5 years,
she
4 years?
She was married, was thinking about getting pregnant, but then it like never really happened because her husband was a nightmare.
Well, let's be honest. She married another NBA player. Yeah. So
here we go again.
Oh, boy, that whole fucking family. So you got, just to lay him down, smack him, yak him, we got Tristan Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
He plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is her. Are they engaged? Or are they just having a fucking kid?
They go real loose in that family. They go real loose relationship-wise, as far as like getting married and stuff.
Sure. So you got
Tristan
Thompson.
Remember Kanye and her weren't married for first kid?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They don't. They're very, in a lot of ways, they're very white trash.
But who was the first? So you had Lamar Odom, first husband, then Kim. And then, you know, she had a fucking record producer beating husband at 19.
Right.
So like the Kylie thing, somebody wrote in, was just like, hey, the Kylie thing isn't that shocking. Like Kim was married at 19 and I was like, you're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It was before the sex tape. It's like BC and AD with that family. It's like, you know, BK, AK, like after the sex tape. Yeah.
Yeah.
After the sex tape and then before the sex tape. Because let's face it, that's what built their family.
Mm-hmm.
But now Khloe, who's what, 35 probably? I'm ballparking it.
Yeah, I think, or 34 maybe.
Yeah, whatever. And then you have Kylie, who's 20. And they're both having kids at the same time. That's a fun thing, isn't it?
The only better thing would be if Chris is pregnant. Gets pregnant next.
By an NBA player.
Yeah, because she's dating some younger dude.
Oh, God, that'd be so good. Because Kylie was dating, is dating that Travis Scott.
Yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest. He looks a lot like ASAP Rocky. And
oh, she has a type.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I thought like for a split second when they showed a picture of him, and I think they used the wrong picture of this guy again.
Oh.
Remember when we were in the airport?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, man, I think that's ASAP. The new one I saw yesterday, I think it was ASAP Rocky, and they just popped it in. And I looked up ASAP Rocky and him. Good night telling the two of them apart. Like braids, same height, same weight, same. They dress exactly the same, like all of it. And it's like the braids that they have are very specific where you're like, holy shit.
The only one that's non-discriminate is Chris. She's gone from Armenian to total white boy.
Well, it's a girl.
No.
Bruce.
It's still.
Sure.
Still a dude. But anyway. And then very dark gentleman.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I mean, she deserves it.
I don't know.
I actually don't know what she deserves, to be totally honest.
I don't know. But look, if you're dating Kris Jenner, don't pull out.
Oof.
Go for the lottery ticket.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Go for the lottery ticket. I'm going to say...
You never know with her. You never know. If there is somebody who's going to beat... You always see those weird cases of like, you know, Chinese women overseas who are getting pregnant at like 63. And you're like, oh, my God, they had a fucking baby. If there's one person who can beat menopause and age and still have a fucking kid, it's Kris Jenner.
Corey Gamble.
Yeah,
Corey Gamble is 33.
You bet.
Anyway.
You bet.
33.
Yeah. You betcha. How old is... What, she's in her
60s. 61.
Yeah.
61.
I think she can still do it. I think she can still power out one more kid. I think she can think her way and will her way through another fucking kid and cash in on that baby.
Yeah.
The same way that DJ Khaled is cashing in on his right now. Assad. Assad's Instagram is fire.
I don't know. He played himself.
He's got a fucking million followers.
He played
that
himself.
Kid is already, man, fucking, it's insane.
Speaking of kids, can I tell you something?
Good, fire away.
That happened today?
Yeah. What do you got?
You know, work from home, whatever you
are. Is it on your phone?
It's on my phone,
okay.
But it's a conversation that I had with someone back in LA. So from LA, far from it.
Right.
I'd like to, you know, hit my girls up, you know.
Keep it real.
Keep it real. The old girls that are still going for it, you guys. Still I'm not going to name any names, but they're still going for it. They're still living in two bedrooms in L.A. They're still taking the freelance makeup jobs you know, really trying to do it and make it work.
At what age?
My age.
Okay.
Okay, so 30s.
30s.
We're 30 as fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely in our 30s. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
So basically it was just like, hey, what's up? What are you up to? What's been going on? And I'm like, you know, working, producing, trying to have another kid, whatever. And she goes, oh, no big deal. I have lots of opinions about that. And I'm like, oh, okay. What's your opinion about having another kid, right?
Sure.
Now,
does this person currently have a child?
No.
Okay. Great.
She's getting married.
Okay. And she has an opinion about children. She doesn't have any.
Doesn't have any.
You bet.
I have one.
Sure.
She has opinions about me saying like, oh, just trying, you know, no bigs.
Right.
Not like, hey, I'm really, you know, it's one of those things. If it happens, it happens, whatever.
Yeah.
But you kind of tell your girlfriends, you
know. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I have strong opinions on it. Oh, what do you think? No, I shouldn't. I said. She said, I think one is much easier, which I said, yes, it is. And she said, the world has a lot of kids, so adopt the second one. And I was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Are you adopting any ever? She said, but really, we are an overpopulated world. Two kids are max, and you and I can still be friends. But I get really upset that people have so many kids these days. It's not good for the planet. Maybe have one, adopt one. If we have a second, and if we can financially support it, that's her plan. Have one, adopt one.
Sure, sure.
I go, I can't tell if you're serious or not. I think I'm going to choose to think that you may be joking about the fact that if I have more than two kids, you won't be my friend anymore. But I'm going to say that maybe you're not kidding about the rest, which, you know, it's true. There is a lot of kids in the world, but whatever.
Right.
And
well,
she goes,
look, there's a billion in China. So
exactly.
One more is
she
really
goes,
not
ha
gonna...
ha. Well, not really joking. I'd love to have a biological child for sure. I just don't get all these families that have several children when there are poor kids in foster care systems. Also, it's proven that wives are most unhappy with three kids. Boom. So I'm done. But
did you lose a friend
today? I'm not sure. She doesn't listen to the show, but this would totally solidify me maybe losing the friendship. But she is one of these, I have to say, she's one of these adopting pet shamers. You know these?
Oh, yeah.
They're not really out here, of course. They're not really out here, but they're definitely in L.A.
Yeah.
And I'm far enough away from it that I kind of forget, you know, that a lot of people there feel that way.
Oh, yeah,
and a
absolutely.
Lot of people. So I like to kind of dip a toe.
They always say get a rescue dog.
Get a rescue dog. And if you don't.
In L.A., that is the most common phrase you hear.
You will be judged.
Yes.
And you will be like, you can lose friends over it. So she's a dog adopter. She's very much like has these weird little mangy dogs all over her house with like their tongues sticking out the side of their face and trying to get them to a forever home. And it's just not working out. Yeah, because nobody fucking wants them.
Well, not only that, but like the dogs they show you in that Sarah McLachlan commercial, the Arms of an Angel dogs. Like those were like cute puppies where it's just like, all right, come on. Those aren't the real ones. Show the real ones that are fucking out of control and eating up other dogs.
Are going to bite your children, that are going to be unpredictable, that are going to ruin your house and home. And then fucking judge me then. But this made me think, this little conversation, which, you know, when you're just with a kid all day, it's kind of like you can get deep into your own thoughts, right? But
sure.
I'm like, is this going to be the new rescue dog shame? Like in the future, is it going to be like you're going to be kid adoption shamed?
Well,
like she was like, and she is the epitome. Okay, so like she is like not my president. She drives a Prius. She has two homes, one in LA, Los Feliz, and then one in Oregon. They go back and forth. They rode motorcycle. I mean, that's the epitome of what, like the pulse. I have my finger on the pulse of what like those that demographic is really thinking.
Yeah. You're fired up about this today.
Well,
I like
you
it.
Know, it just sucks. Like, no, no, it sucks it. Because, like, you know, you out here and in normal life with normal people, you say I'm trying and it's like, oh, awesome. Like, you know, congrats. Yeah, I have two or I have three or yeah, I think it's better. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But I've never gotten like, I have strong opinions about you trying to have another kid. The world is overpopulated with kids and it really pisses me off. These people that are having all these kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you should adopt your second child. First of all, that's a really hard process as well.
It is. Adoption is
hard. Do
you
know what I mean?
Not that it's
and
not,
like, I've got a
not
record.
Not that it's not a worthy.
I've got a rap sheet.
Yeah. Not, and not, not that it's
they're not,
not a,
giving me a kid.
Yeah. No, they're not giving me anybody.
Nor should they.
No.
By the way.
Probably not even giving you a rescue dog.
They will not give me a honest. Rescue dog. No. If I was in LA, they wouldn't. They have very like strict things. But go ahead.
No, last time I was there, it was funny. Like, if you do have more than two kids, they're like, everybody's like, oh my God, how do you, but I hear it differently. They're like, oh God, how do you afford that? What school do they get into? What, because you have to audition essentially to get into the fucking private schools. And what I love is no parents in LA, have their kids go to a public school whatsoever. So like, they'll preach, you know, buy the rescue dog, adopt. Not one single second would they ever put them in the public school system in Los Angeles either. And you're like, hey, man, so last time I got into this argument with somebody, which was recent. I was there for, what, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I had a picture of Jax on my phone or whatever. And they said, oh, does he go to school here? And I was like, no, it's just, you know, normal life. Back in
normal
in
life.
North Carolina, they were like, oh my gosh, we're thinking about adopting and whatever. And I was like, oh, that's great, you know, whatever. And I was like, you know, they think it's just better and the whole shit. The same thing you got.
So they could have kids, but they just think that it'd be better to adopt.
Yep.
Which, listen.
It's great. Look, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Go for it. And also with the dogs. You're right.
Yeah.
They're all over the place.
Yes, absolutely. So I said... You know, and they gave me the whole spiel about why they wanted to adopt. And the first question I asked, I said, great. Are you going to put them in public schools? And they were like, no. I mean, the public schools are terrible here. And I was like, why are they terrible? Why? Just tell me why they're terrible in Los Angeles. And they were like, well, you know, it's just middle. And I was like, I can't understand what you're saying. Why are the schools terrible? Because we don't live in like Compton or anything. Like we're in Hollywood.
Why are they?
Yeah.
Why are they? There
is a high school on the corner of Sunset and what, La Brea or Highland?
Highland.
Yeah, Hollywood High School. It's right there.
It's right there. Get you on down there.
And not one kid's Uber. That ends the conversation, by the way.
Sure.
Because they don't. 83% of Los Angeles County is Latino, and God forbid they don't want their white children going to school with Latinos. It's they're all a bunch of fucking hypocrites. So all that stupid shit, when it actually comes down to it, it's whatever suits people's needs and their own lifestyle and schedule. And it's fun to preach to people when you don't actually do like, any of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And just I don't know.
Yeah.
These like far, not far left. I mean, I guess she's obviously a little bit more left. Like, this conversation started with, hey, like from her to me.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, what's up? What you been up to? Miss you. Love you. Straight into that. And straight into like, what makes you think you can fucking have that conversation with me? Like, you don't know what I just told you. I'm trying to have another kid. And you're telling me you don't know how you feel about that.
Right.
This far left, like really letting you know how you should live your life.
Yeah, it's gotten weird. It's gotten weird.
It used to be the right? It used to be the right. Don't let those gays marry. Don't let these trying to like control everybody. And now it's like,
it is switched.
Fucking A, it's switched.
It switched aggressively. But, you know, I will say this, even in Los Angeles, when I lived there for fucking 17 years, I might have had a handful of friends. Because my friends from college or like, you know, a couple actors who I was friends with that were close, that I consider close friends, more than acquaintances and things like that. Like, I have a lot of people that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with that guy, but not like super close. And it's for this exact reason right here, where it's just like, you know, the judginess and the preachiness of all of it. And it's just like, hey, man,
how dare you? And like, I would never do that to somebody.
No.
Ever.
Oh, fuck them.
And that's just like how I am. So, you know, it's an ongoing thing on this show. It's like, find Jesse a best friend, right? You know what I mean? Where it's just like, why the fuck? Why? Maybe it's me. I don't know. But I would never, like, maybe I'm the problem, right? Like, what's the common denominator? You, loser. But like, I just would never do that. Like, I never try and make people feel bad about anything that they're doing. I'm always the, like,
at least to their face, you know, like, I wouldn't,
oh, I'll judge a motherfucker all day
behind them, but I'm not gonna,
their back, like a normal person.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fucking text somebody that or whatever, but
no. And I'm also like not gonna make people feel bad about their choices or their life or like even like mistakes that they've made, anything. Like, I'm the person to come to and tell, like, anything. Like, if you killed someone, come to me.
Yeah. You want to know. You want to know.
Well, I'll be your passion. Fleet White. That's how fucking down I am.
Yeah, that's
like,
your passion.
I will never, like, make you feel bad. Like, people canceling plans. Like, me. Like, I am always, like, no worries.
A good murder is actually your rescue dog, where it's just, like, you will cover up a good murder the same way other people get a rescue dog in L.A.
Yeah, that was the point of that story, is, like, in the future or not so far in the future, is that going to be the new, like, shaming?
I don't know. Look,
kid shaming, kid adopting. Did you get that? Is that your kid or did you adopt it?
Could be. I don't think anywhere else. But,
you know how we lie about, like, our dogs being rescued. Oh, it's a rescue, right? What if you did that? What if you had to do that with your kids in the future?
Yeah. Because you're
always adopted. We got him from a foster home.
I've never lied. I've always said the same thing when people ask me. They're like, oh my God, you're like the cutest dog on the planet. And I was like, they were like, is it a rescue? And I was like, yeah. I rescued it from an extremely expensive breeder in Texas. The dog was flown in on a cargo plane. I don't give a fuck.
You're part of the problem.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
I'm just joking.
One of my best friends in L.A. same thing. You were part of that conversation. One of my very few close friends in L.A. just got an awesome,
so funny,
sweet, gorgeous dog. And
paid full price.
Yeah, shipped it
full
in the whole
price.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Shipped it in.
Because it's a fucking dope ass dog. And
he wanted it.
The same thing. He goes, dude, all I get every fucking day.
Is that a rescue?
No. You'll never see a dog this good looking that's a fucking rescue. Like,
sorry.
Yeah. And not again, for those of you who rescue dogs or adopt children, do that. More power to you, and that's amazing.
Absolutely. Like,
I'm just saying, for my personal lifestyle. And my selfishness.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I wanted to buy a dog, and, you know,
I want to have my own kids, and I don't know if that's bad or selfish, but it just, that's just how I feel. And if I can't, then we can go from there. But, like,
the good thing is, you're not going to think about it for, like, the next 3 or 4 months.
No. And it will not keep me up, and I will not, like, text her later, like, hey, girl. Just, like, acting like it didn't even happen at all.
Oh, single white Jesse will be texting this girl and just being just like,
hey. I'm not single white female.
Remember when you start sending her gifts of Judge Judy and you're like, hey, do you remember earlier?
Just like a bunch of he, ha,
and then just
ha.
Like, you text back like, hey, by the way, you know, people in Oregon hate people from California. Because, you know, that's a thing that's going on, right?
Oh, her car got totally vandalized.
Shut the fuck up. Did
home.
It really?
Yeah, go back home, California.
I told you.
Her house, everything.
So people are starting to move out of, for the audience to know, people are starting to move out of California because it's too expensive. Real estate's too high. So they're going up to Oregon to buy shit. There's so many people leaving California that people in Oregon, if they see a California license plate, they'll fucking vandalize your car. Like, I mean, it has gotten ruthless there, hasn't it?
It's been going on for a long time, actually.
Yes.
My mom has been buying property there for over 10 years, and it was bad back then because they were just like, get the fuck out of our state.
Yeah,
like,
well, I mean, look, the real estate in L.A. is fucking insanity. So, dude, you keep going further north, it keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, you go up to, like, you know, what is it, Santa Clarita? Santa Clara, up north by where the stadium is, the new 49ers stadium. Santa Clara, then you got San Francisco, and there's one other suburb that's, like, super crazy expensive.
San Clemente or something.
I forget. But anyways, the further you go north, the more expensive it gets. San Jose, the further you go north, it keeps getting crazier, and you're like, oh, shit. And so you have to leave the state where you're like, I'm just going to go one more up. I got to get the fuck out of it. And now they're all like, I hate you.
Right.
Get out of my state.
Right.
So say, hey, just text her back later. Just be like, hey, that's why your car got vandalized. because California is fucking awesome.
I will take your all of your advice to find a friend. I wonder why I don't have any right now.
I don't. You're my only friend, Jesse. Right now. So.
Shut up. That's not true.
It isn't true.
I
got lucky though. Like I found like an incredible set of like great friends later in life, and that doesn't really happen. And I've had this conversation with them, where I was like, man, you know what's weird is like, dude. To find like great friends this late in
what
life.
What do you mean? Which stage? In college or here or?
No, now. Like, you know, like four years ago? Like with Matt and Jared and Evan and those guys.
Dang,
like,
yeah.
It's like, dude, I fucking talk to them 9 times a day.
That's true.
And that was a new thing. And it was the same way with them where they were like, all right, sweet. You know, they only knew a couple of each other. And it was just like, yeah. So
That's so cute.
I guess I got lucky, Jesse.
I know. It's a really cool story.
But, you know, if you want a friend request, Jesse on Facebook. I'm kidding.
I know. No, man, there's actually cool chicks that hit me up that are just like, girl, samesies.
Yeah.
Which I love, but you're not here.
Well, look,
you don't live here.
I lose friends on Facebook like 15 a day. Every time I post something like controversial, I lose like 15 friends. So it's like when I started like really tallying up the numbers today, I was like, man, I've probably in the last year, I've probably lost 1,000. Like luckily people keep friend requesting me and I'll friend them back, but I've probably lost somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000. Lost another 15, 17 yesterday,
for
that post yesterday. RIP guys. RIP. And one quick note before we get to the sponsors, I want to talk about this because this is shocking. Real quick, DirecTV is offering their money back if you bought the Sunday NFL ticket package, which I've bought every year. I used to have DirecTV for a long time because I used to want to get the Falcons games living in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Since we moved back here, there was no need for DirecTV because it was like, all right, great. A lot of the Falcons games are on TV.
Sure.
Because of all the kneeling and shit, people were calling and canceling their package. So DirecTV is giving your money back. If you call in and say, and this report is on ESPN right now, if you call in and say, hey, I'm offended by the kneeling during the games, they're refunding the $280 back. And here's what shocks me. I had DirecTV for fucking, I don't know, forever in LA. They wouldn't give you your goddamn money back until you fucking died. They wouldn't change a contract with you unless you brought in a fucking corpse and dragged it into corporate and just said, hey, sorry, Bill is dead. And I need you to stop sending him bills. Like, you know what I'm saying? My friend Bill is dead. He's fucking dead. He's right here on the floor. And they're like, nope.
We need one of his fingers.
What day did he die? The 17th? So, all right, we're going to prorate you the last 13 days of the month, but we're still going to charge him for that 17. Fuck you, Bill.
And if you can just mail us in a pinky, toe,
DirecTV
would be
is
great.
The goddamn worst. And of course, they're owned by AT&T. So that'll lead you to the other half of that fucking shit wagon. But I was stunned by that. I was like, whoa, DirecTV never gives you anything.
I know.
Back.
I wonder what that's like really, really all about. Like, I wonder where.
Who knows? It could be like the guy from Chick-fil-A who's, you know, closes Chick-fil-A on Sundays because of Jesus. So, you know, maybe he's like personally like a veteran or something. And who knows? But look, you know DirecTV. Like, fuck. To get them to even refund a goddamn pay-per-view charge.
I know.
Remember we tried to watch, it was like a Pearl Jam concert special or something?
It was Pearl Jam 20.
No, it was a documentary. Yeah. It was their documentary. And it was just like, hey, man, this isn't working. And they were like, well, you bought it. And I was like, no, I know, but it's scrambled and it was frozen, you know? And I was like, no, I know, but we see that you bought it. And I was like, awesome.
I'm
on the phone with you right now. And this fucking thing isn't on. Like, can you do something? Oh, God, let me connect you to 19 other departments.
Oh my gosh, you
to get back like
so
$3.99.
Frustrated.
It was just the fucking point of it, where it was just like, God damn it, man. I still hate customer service, you know, just as much as everybody else. Sometimes we just record it now. But let's get to the sponsor, shall we? Because we got some. We're talking docs tonight. We're talking documentaries tonight. This is a Jables night. We're gonna try to break you out of your doldrums.
out of your sadness.
Out of your no friend zone.
No friend zone.
We in the building.
I think it's
could be,
me.
Could be you. First and foremost, we got straightrazors.com. Straightrazors.com is the premier shaving products in all of the biz. They've got a shaving kit that's on sale that if it is in your bathroom and a lady comes over, I'm going to say the panties will drop. That's how great these razors are from straightrazors.com. Their kits are old school. It's like they're from the fucking late 1800s. They've got the number one ranked aftershave in the world, the number one ranked cologne in the world. And their aftershave smolder is the fucking business. Just buy a bottle of that and tell me if it's not the greatest goddamn thing you've ever had. Go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Support the show. Go to straightrazors.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Try that smolder. It'll change your life. Next up, we got ledbyiron.com. Yeah, yeah. James, you're still wearing that. You're still wearing their gear.
I love it.
Yep.
I love it. Slay.
Can't get you out of it. Cannot get you out of the gear. Big fan of Led by Iron. It's apparel for working out. It's functional fitness wear, which means your fucking clothes actually fit decently, by the way. It's not like you're trying to, you ever try to tuck in like a baggy shirt or something when you're at the gym and you're like, this is fucking worthless.
And then for the girls.
You can't run in it.
Yeah. For the girls' tanks, like, you know, girls where it's like tight all the way down with the same like material.
Yeah.
This like. Kind of bags out. You know what I mean?
Look, here's the thing.
It flares in all the right places.
This is the only apparel for gym workout that you've ever liked. Do you think a girl actually designed the girls' shirts?
I think so.
It had to be, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the guy who owns it and his wife, right?
Oh, she did it then.
Come on. Yeah. Like, you're not going to ask me, like, what? Yeah, yeah, they fit too good. Like, a woman definitely had input. And if they didn't, good for you, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you did it.
Go to ledbyiron.com. Get some sweet tees for the gym. They got some dope-ass snapbacks, too. One of their hats. I was wearing it today. Big fan of ledbyiron.com. They're all first responder owned, by the way. So they got a really dope thin blue line shirt that I was wearing today at the gym. And they've got a thin red line as well for the firefighters, which is fucking nice. And they're all first responder owned. So just, dude, go buy a shirt. Go to ledbyiron.com, ledbyiron.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Go to ledbyiron.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Last but not least, we got strikeforceenergy.com. Oh, is that what you're texting to that girl right now?
No, I was
yeah, you are. You're texting her bombs and like weird emojis and just saying, here's what I think of your lifestyle.
Remember when we were joking around about kids earlier?
Yeah.
No, I was looking up the name, but it's Ty Rainey.
Yeah, well, yeah, Tyler Rainey, of course.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Sorry. Tyler Rainey.
Tyler Rainey owns the joints.
Yeah, yeah.
He runs the world over at ledbyiron.com.
So that's what I was saying, I think. But go
think
on.
Jen did
sorry,
it.
Sorry.
Jen
I think
had
she
it.
Had input. She's pretty cool, so I'm guessing. Yeah.
Well, if you're a lady, I'll tell you what. Let's solve this debate real quick before we get to Strikeforce Energy. If you're a lady out there, go to ledbyiron.com, buy one of the lady shirts, and then write in and say, hey. Because that's the first ever fucking shirt that you've ever been happy with.
Yeah, it's a black tank top. It's kind of a thicker material. It's awesome. You'll know what I'm talking about.
All right.
And it's just the Led by Iron logo.
Sure.
Simple.
So if
awesome.
if you're a lady out there, buy the tank, put it on, and then tell us what you think.
All of our lady listeners.
Yeah. Every single one of them.
Every single one of you guys.
Next up, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com. The premier energy drink in all of the land. It's a tasty, tiny little tin pouch. You rip it open, you squeeze it into your beers, waters, liquors, Kool-Aids, liqueurs.
Were you going to say liqueur?
Liqueurs. I always say liqueurs. You know, I go liqueurs.
Oh, always.
It's for my it's for my peeps who drink Henny out there. Go to strikeforceenergy.com. But get a subscription a month of it. It's better than 5-Hour Energy. Kick the can. You don't need the fucking can anymore. It's a little silver pouch. You don't even have to fucking stir it. Just drop and go. Just a little boom, boom, and you're drinking. You're off to the races. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. They ship everywhere in the entire world. And they've got a nice 750 milliliter bottle that can sit right on your bar.
Ooh.
You can put a couple pumps in. We're talking docs tonight, kids. We're talking documentaries. We just watched the Scott Peterson documentary on A&E, right?
Yes.
A&E was the
A&E. Killing of Lacey Peterson.
We watched a bunch of documentaries, but we'll start with Scott Peterson.
Okay.
Fuck me, man. Yeah. I'm not.
Did you get any messages? No, because it just went out.
It just ended, and we're recording on the same day that it ended. But for the first time ever, like Making a Murderer, when I watched that on Netflix, I was like, oh man, this is so fucked up. I thought the kid was innocent, but I thought the other guy,
you
Steven.
Did?
Yeah, I thought the kid, the Dehassy kid was innocent.
Sure, but you thought.
But I thought the bigger guy was fucking
really?
Guilty. Yeah, yeah. I think he had something to do with that.
Okay.
So, like, I'm honest about when I watch this shit, if I'm like, all right, come on, this is fucking bullshit or not. Same with the OJ thing. Like, when they tried to pin it on the Sun, I was like, all right, cool. I'll give this a watch. But, you know, you're really going to have to fucking sway me. And at the end of it, I was like, no, that it was just OJ. It was just fucking the Juice.
It was, yeah.
Still Uncle Juice who did that. No bigs. With Scott Peterson, this is like, fuck, we could get a lot of hate mail from this. After watching that, I kind of think he's innocent, and I can't believe I'm saying this.
You think he's innocent?
I think there is a fair trial. There's a good shot that he could be innocent.
I think so too.
And that is so fucked that I would even think this or say this. You would ask, like, as I followed this case as it was going on, in real time. And like, I remember it clear as day, but what I wasn't aware of, I guess back then, I wasn't aware of until this last election, to be honest with you, was how much the media spins all of the shit they want to spin, to make their own narrative. Like, I was not aware of it at the time. It seemed fair, it seemed just at the time, and then you go back and watch these documentaries like that, the OJ one on ESPN that just won the Oscar, that 10-hour one, where, you know, they had made his picture on Time Magazine blacker and all that shit of OJ, and you were just like, Jesus Christ, all right. At the time, I didn't really notice it was going on. Now I'm like hyper aware of what the media can do and all this shit, so I'm super distrusting of shit. When the Scott Peterson thing was going on, though, I wasn't distrusting of the shit, and I believed everything the media was saying, and I was like, yeah, that motherfucker did this. And there wasn't a doubt in my mind, even when we watched it, because you're the doc queen. You're like the Fetty Wap trap queen. You're the doc queen,
that's
baby.
I love it.
So when I watched it with you, I went in with a closed mind, and I said, I'll watch this with you. My motherfucker's guilty.
For sure. He's always been.
And then I watched it with you and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think you might be innocent. What the fuck? He could, like, my takeaway was that at the end of the day that he was just kind of a weird.
He was a weirdo. And that
he was
does
kind of
not
weird and like, you
a
know.
A killer make. Like,
ugh.
You can be weird. You can cheat on your wife and you can be weird and not be a killer. You know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time. My thing was just lack of evidence, complete and total. Like, you know,
if you
kill somebody in a house, you better believe that the cops are going to be able to find at least something.
Exactly. And here's what I find interesting about all of this. Again, I followed this trial very closely in real time as this was going on. And I said to somebody, they were like, dude, he's fucking guilty. And I was like, yes, I think he's fucking guilty. But watching this trial, I don't think they have enough evidence to convict him. But I was like, I think the guy's guilty. So when the guilty verdict came down to me, it was almost like a makeup for the OJ case where they were like, cool, we don't have enough evidence in this one. Whereas OJ, they had a shit ton of evidence. This one, they didn't. And it was like, yeah, but he's fucking guilty. Like, the media says he's guilty. He's fucking guilty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, fuck it. I didn't think not one more second on Scott Peterson did I spend thinking about it in my life until we watched this documentary.
No, it's just that image of him with like the dyed hair, the dyed beard.
Yeah.
Blonde, and he's like packed his bags and he's going to Mexico, right?
Yes.
And after that, it was just like that and Amber Fry, you're done.
And you have a wife who's 9 months pregnant. Like, let's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, you're going to find very little people who are going to be sympathetic to you cheating on your 9 month pregnant wife out there. Like, you're just not going to find that.
No, not sympathetic, but also like.
Well, I mean, but that
not
lended
understanding,
itself,
but
that fact lended itself to the media even going harder, where it was just
for sure. No, he had literally everything against him.
Yeah.
The thing with the Amber Fry, that fucking blonde biatch.
Right.
They went out 4 times.
Okay.
You know, like it made it seem like this long affair and da da da. Like once the phone calls were recorded, it was her calling him because she was working for the feds at that point. Right. So everything that you hear, like every recorded conversation that you've heard between them is her pursuing him because the cops have been like, listen, we need you to call him. We need you to keep this thing going.
Sure.
So it's not her. It's not him calling her and being like, do you know what I'm saying?
And she was weird too.
She's super weird. And she was hurt. Like, that's what a lot of people say. It's like, you know, they went out a couple times. She found out he was married.
Yeah.
She was hurt. And on top of that, you know, and then there's a lot of things that don't really add up. But the thing that you have to go off of is evidence, right?
Yeah.
Evidence and fair trial. And like, the defense didn't get to fucking show anything.
No. And like, I remember too, like, because I was looking it up, I was like, man, was she in Playboy? Like, I was trying to remember if Amber Fry was
She's
in Playboy. There was just a bunch of like nudes of her.
She wasn't in Playboy. And
No, she wasn't. But there were people bidding on it because there was like a bunch of nudes of her and shit. And you were just like, all right, cool. But like staged to where they were glamour shots where you were just like, oh, so you sat down and took those
just like
those photos. Maybe with the intent of trying to get in Playboy or something like that.
Possibly.
Yeah. But she was fucking weird. He's fucking weird. The whole thing is remarkably his family seemed kind of normal. Except for the dad. I don't know what's going on.
What's wrong with the dad?
He's still... the one thing that was missing for me personally was just like, dude, Scott was a piece of shit for cheating on his fucking 9 month pregnant wife.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, he made a mistake.
But I never heard the mom, his mom or dad say that, where it was just like, hey, you could say, look, he was a bad person for doing this to his wife, but he didn't murder her or whatever. They never said that either, and it was just like, I don't know. But he's up for what? Is it the last appeal that he's on?
The last appeal that he has in the Supreme Court is reviewing it now. So
when do you know when they're going to have an answer?
It has to be by, I think, the end of 2017.
Oof. What do you think is going to happen with that?
Had this documentary not come out, I would say no way. But I think that, you know, in even with Making a Murderer, like Stephen Avery would never have an appeal ever in a million years if there wasn't a documentary made about him and like heat put on the court system. So I think he may get at least an appeal. There's enough documents. I mean, he has enough things that happened. He's not just saying like ineffective counsel. He has so many things that like weren't admissible, got botched. And so he has a case. Now, what's going to happen with that? I don't know.
What's your guess?
What?
You think he'll get a retrial or not?
I think he'll get another trial, yeah.
I do not. Okay. I think that
they won't admit that they made a mistake.
No.
That's really hard to get them. But it is Supreme Court. So it is in the Supreme Court's hands right now.
I think
Supreme Court likes to be like, oh, we're making the courts do what they're supposed to do. Do you know what I mean?
Find out. With this one, I'm going to say a no go.
You're going to say no, huh?
I'm going to stick by the fact that she was 9 months pregnant.
No fucking, there's just no fucking evidence, though. There's none.
I watched the thing too, and like I had a hard time buying into anything they were selling.
So it's just like, I don't know.
It was a weird one.
I don't know.
The next doc we watched after that was fucking Who Killed Biggie and Tupac on
Interesting
Fox.
Interesting one.
Yeah, it was hosted by Soledad. And
Soledad O'Brien. I liked her. What's she from?
I like her too. She's great. But her partner on the show, her co-host, was
hard-hitting journalist Ice-T.
So Biggie Smalls, Tupac. Tupac died. He took a ride on Flamingo.
Listen, he was just like a translator for Soledad, right?
Yeah.
From like the gangster. He was like, hey, Soledad, it's like if you disrespect, revenge.
Disrespect, revenge.
Now listen, we call you food. Now you're food on the street. He's just like letting her
know. He was entertaining, but I will say this. When they talked to that one dude, and he was just like, yeah, man, so I pulled my Nina. And she goes, whoa.
What is a Nina?
No, this Nina, where does she? And he goes, yo, Soledad, Anina's a 9. That's a gun. I'm Ice-T.
Yeah, pump the brakes.
Yeah, and it was funny to watch them together because Soledad was like a professional reporter, and Ice-T was just like, okay, like when they talk to people about the witnesses, like, hey, so did you do you think you know who did this? And the guy's like, nah. I don't know who did this.
Yeah.
Soledad's like, no, I know you know who did this. And IT's like, no, okay, we're good. We're done with the questions.
Yeah.
Soledad, that's the streets. You don't snitch on people. And I was like, Soledad was just so pissed off. She was just like, no, but you don't understand. Like, just keep asking him the fucking question.
She's like, what are we doing this for? She's like, this is fucking pointless. Everybody we interview, you like let them plead the fifth, basically. Yeah. She's like, all right, cool. There's another hard-hitting witness. She goes, we got so much out of that.
Oh God, if I was on SNL, I would do a show called Ice Cube solves every crime.
Ice-T.
Ice-T solves every crime. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I think we're good. And we know who did this now.
The guy's about to confess. Yeah. And Ice-T goes, no, man.
I think we're all good. Yeah, yeah.
It's the street, Soledad.
It's the street.
She's not even there with him. It's the street, Soledad.
I think them and a buddy cop, like, fuck Brooklyn Nine-Nine, gets Soledad and Ice-T on the case.
It's called Old Head and Pretty.
Yeah.
Old Head and Pretty on the streets. What do you think? I'm writing it down. Don't worry. I'm writing it down right now.
So with this one, with this who shot, you know, Biggie and Tupac, they named the same people that I'd heard for years. So like,
okay. So this one was more your world where I was like, fuck, man. Like there are so many different like roads that people aren't taught. It's just like,
no,
it's not the same. There's no like clear cut. Like thing.
I think that definitely that Orlando Anderson was the one who killed Tupac.
And then he's dead.
Okay. I'd heard that before. I mean, he got shot, you know, for some other fucking bullshit. And I think those two undercover police officers that work for Death Row were the ones who killed. They were the ones who killed Biggie. And like people have named them for years. And it's the same fucking story. So
what is Shug? Like Shug was they got him from jail,
which was awesome.
Which was
Shug Knight.
Good. But again, he said nothing.
No. Of course
he
not.
Could not say anything. No. So it was a bunch of people like. Not
he's
saying
awaiting
anything.
His own murder trial right now. So
he's not gonna fucking name
shit. But if you ask him, you know, when he was like 75 years old, if he gets life on this and he ends up being in jail forever,
he might say.
I think he'll call in and be like, "Yo, this is I fucking ordered the hit. Fuck you, fuck you." It would be awesome if he just called back and said, "Hey, I'm ready to confess." Like if he gets life for running over and killing that guy in the set of the NWA movie. And he just calls in and says, man, fuck you. You don't want to come to death row? Fuck you. I ordered that hit on Biggie and then just fucking hangs up the phone. I'd be like, oh, my God. Sugar died.
Oh, my God. I always thought.
The Tupac theory, though, was interesting about him getting shot in the elevator. Because I had heard that before, that he shot himself. And I had heard that before as
Sounds like he shot himself, right?
Yes.
Was that the end theory? Okay.
He went to draw a gun.
Yes.
That was in his pants, pulled the trigger, shot himself in the...
Shot himself in the groin in the and dick. Actually shot his friend in the stomach?
It ricocheted.
Yeah, okay.
The bullet ricocheted. It was a metal elevator, yeah.
Hallway.
So, well, there were, no, it was inside road, an elevator. Guys.
It's a windy road. But, Oh, the thing about I always thought Suge kind of set up that thing with Tupac, like in the car, somehow set up for him to be killed.
I never did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's just that picture of Suge, like, you know, that one picture that they have.
The last picture. Yeah.
So it just kind of seems like he's like on edge and something's going on and Tupac's just like, whatever. So to me, that picture always seemed like
he's setting him
up right now.
The picture was like that because, you know, they'd gotten in a fight earlier and kicked the shit out of that dude.
I know that now. But, to me,
I didn't learn anything more than I thought I already knew. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
It was more it ended up being more funny to me than anything because I just thought all of it was like ridiculous and hilarious. Just a bunch of like interviews with people that couldn't say anything.
Snitch. Yeah.
Pointless. But as you know, whatever. They didn't even get rights to music. But anyway, good.
Not one song.
But
and
it was
Fox.
Good.
Yeah.
I like Soledad. Killed it.
She's great. I think she'll really get another gig out of this.
Yeah. She's really good.
Ice tea is ice tea. But I think Soledad will definitely get another gig out of that. The one that I got caught up in was the Cobain one though. I still go back to the Cobain one because they
soaked in bleach because
the last part of the Tupac Biggie doc said that the FBI has sealed files of the Biggie case. So if they chose to release them, they could say what their findings were. Right now they're sealed and they've got redactions on it. Which fuck. If anyone knows about redactions right now, it's me because I'm going through that with the fucking CIA. Mm. If they release it without the redactions in it, the one officer was like, dude, that'll tell you who fucking killed Biggie. It's all sitting there, but it's sealed evidence at the FBI and it's up to them. And they said that, you know, people have to demand to get it released. And that was the exact same thing they said about the Kurt Cobain thing when they were like, hey, there's evidence. If you want to look at all the pictures and all the shit up there of what they think really happened and this soaked in bleach. But they said this, what, it was the Seattle Police Department won't release it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they really
don't like to be wrong.
I know. But I would wager to say in both of those cases, if you just release that evidence or whatever the findings were, I would say you would be 90 to 95% sure of who fucking actually killed these people. But they won't do it. So I don't know if you'll ever really have that answer. It's shitty for the mom because I think Biggie's mom is still alive.
Yeah. And still like really involved in, I think aren't they suing the.
Yeah, they sued the LA Police Department. By the way, there was a thing today that came out that Stephen Katz, who they kept referring to. Yo, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The LA Sheriff's Department, Stephen Katz had this. Turns out they got the wrong guy. He was not in charge of that case, and so luckily on Fox's part today,
released
that no, the Stephen Katz guy said, look, I want you to come out and release a retraction. He goes, I don't give a fuck that you got it wrong. Just release a retraction of the story, and that I was the wrong person because this wasn't even my fucking case, bro. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't even there. And they said they called Fox, everything, got no return calls. Obviously they couldn't edit it out. Shit was too late at that point.
Dang. They're saying he's like hiding shit in like secret drawers in his desk.
In which it was another guy, by the way. So
yeah, no, I know.
All
but
of
like,
that was true, but so a this, different guy. And they just kept showing this guy's picture and you're like, oh
yeah,
fuck. So I don't know, but the, so Biggie Tupac, I'm on the side of, I know who did that. Kurt Cobain, I'm not sure of. And Scott Peterson, I kind of think he just didn't do it. Maybe.
Never thought in a million years I would ever say that. And again, I don't know if he didn't do it, but I know that like his trial was so fucked.
Yeah.
So fucked. And Nancy Grace basically convicted him.
Well, look, that's
so,
I hate
so
Nancy Grace,
fucked.
So it's not.
So I don't know.
I've always hated Nancy Grace and she's always gone down that road, but I think, you know, Nancy Grace to me was always about the ratings. So like, she never admitted that in this documentary where she was just like, hey, I'm really hammering people every night for ratings on the same exact subject. Cause I mean, she wouldn't cover any other cases at the time it was going on where it was just like, man, there's other people that are definitely not like you're, she would only focus on like the hot women who were murdered. And you were just like, whew, there's a lot other murders going on. But if it was something she could tag like Tot Mom, you know, mm-hmm. Tot Mom for Casey Anthony and things like that. Right. Like she only focused on the attractive murders. Nicole Simpson, Lacey Peterson, Casey Anthony. I don't remember like, oh, my God, she went after like some ugly ones.
Yes.
There was one where a woman drove her car full of kids into a lake and she went after her pretty hard, but they never showed like pictures or anything like that. Nancy Grace, I would like to hear Nancy Grace say, hey, she didn't, because not once did she say, look, I was going hard for this on ratings, like I don't really know the answer.
She contends
at the
still.
End of the the very last sentence of the thing was like, dude, I'm entitled to my opinion, that's my opinion. It's just like, boy, if you're that famous on TV and you're jamming that in people's faces, it's just like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she genuinely believes it. And like, she also believes that like, she's not in the courtroom, so she can say whatever she wants. And
I know.
She doesn't need to
but
see the
But she used to
evidence.
Be a lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Fucked. That's
she was
so
a lawyer.
Fucked.
She became, Nancy Grace's story is actually like, it's almost like Megyn Kelly's, where it starts out with good intentions and somewhere along the line. So
greed and power take
control. Yeah, so she was doing something completely different.
It's gonna happen with me.
Was going to get married to this guy.
Yep.
And her fiance got killed. And it was like a total, you know, nobody knew who it was. And she, from that point forward, she went to law school. She became a lawyer. And she started to defend people, victims that didn't have, you know, a voice. People that died, basically. So she talks for people like Lacey Peterson that don't have a voice. She talks for people like Casey Anthony's daughter that don't have a voice, and she's very aggressive and thinking that she's their voice. And so I think it starts out with good intentions, but she's eventually gone to the dark side.
Well, the thing that makes me happy is if I get murdered, I know you will not stop.
No stone will be unturned.
Yeah, like that'll be your fucking life's mission. And I kind of think that you want me to get murdered so that way you can have a mission in life. Because I think at the top of the show, we proved that you're not going to have any more friends.
No.
You need a good murder.
No one likes
something
me.
To really take your time up for the rest of your life.
Yeah, to really get deep into.
Yeah. Hey, girls, I'm busy. And there's folders to the ceiling of all of my files. And you're going through like.
I have maps with the red yarn from picture to picture with the pins.
So I think I almost think you need me to get murdered. Yeah.
It would be a dream. And all that
the fucked up thing
life
is if I really do
would be,
well, yeah, you'll get that life insurance. So that'll give you
that'll
the time.
Fund my investigation.
Yeah, that'll fund.
And I spend it all on that. Like nothing else.
You hire a team of people like in the neighborhood.
They're here 24/7.
Like, yep. And you guys are just going through every
ex-cops, ex-FBI. They're all like living in the house. I've bought like a huge complex for us to all live in.
Yep.
So yeah,
I kind of think. Look, it's fucked up.
Listen, part of me is like, would that be great? Yeah. Do I want you to die? No.
Right, but it's. I would say it's 60-40 on that. Where you're.
But
like,
you know, when I run, I have a fanny pack with a glove, with rubber gloves in it, just in case. No, serious. And I like to run. Well, I like to run in kind of like I like to go
murder
off
areas.
Murdered areas. But then I realized, like, oh shit, maybe I, you know, if you run in those areas, you could end up being the body.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes, yes.
So I started not doing that because I was going like real off the path.
Sure. Looking for that body.
Looking for that body. And then I thought, oh, and I'm winded. I might as well just be screaming through the woods. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I won't be able to fight back.
Yeah, yeah.
So I stopped doing that, but I still have at least one glove, one rubber glove in my
in your fanny pack, just in case.
In my running,
in case,
like,
you stumble across
where
you a body.
You put your phone.
Yeah,
I just put one right in there.
God, I hope I find a body before you. I really do. I really want to hold that over you.
Fuck. Remember when?
Because you know I'm going to take, before I call the cops, I'm going to take iPhone pictures and then send it to you and be like, hey, you're not going to fucking
selfies
believe this.
With it.
Yep. Just like, oh, just action shots. Of like me, like Weekend
lifting
Bernie's.
Lifting up the arm, yeah.
I'm gonna Bernie that motherfucker.
Making it thumbs up.
Yep. I'm gonna Weekend and Bernie that motherfucker.
Remember when it said a runner found Lacey's body? I was like, ugh.
Yep. Yep.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was just a torso, though. It was just a torso.
Oof, even better. What,
is there any docs you're looking forward to? I can't wait for that fucking Ric Flair doc.
Oh, shit.
Now I feel like we're docked out. Like, I haven't seen a good doc.
Yeah, I
now.
Don't know. And I haven't seen, I mean, there's a couple.
That Law & Order Menendez thing looks cool, but it's not a documentary.
It's not a doc.
That Ric Flair 30 for 30 doc. Oof. Is obviously, he's my end all be all.
And 30 for 30
he's
does
my hero.
Is it right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I saw the trailer. It's coming out in November. That I cannot goddamn wait for. Like, I am counting down the fucking days to Ric Flair's documentary on 30 for 30. Like, that is long overdue. Long overdue. So, and the thing is, they caught him while he's alive, because most wrestlers fucking crap out at like 55.
So they're gonna have interviews like from now.
Oh, dude, they do. And because he almost died, what,
yeah, they're
a
gonna
month
have
ago.
That whole thing.
Whew,
dang,
boss.
Dude, they're probably still like editing.
That's
that
what I heard.
Part.
Actually, it's funny you say that. I just read they were.
Nice.
That they were doing reshoots and they were doing some things to add to it, but
oh, what a perfect
because
ending.
People are super amped about it and. Look, he was a 16-time world champion. Like, he's fucking Ric Flair. He's the goddamn best.
He's you.
I know. I should play him in a biopic. Like, I'm...
So
I just know,
should.
Like, I was watching an interview the other day with him, and I know it's going to go to, like, Channing Tatum or somebody.
Somebody that, like, does not...
Yeah.
Cannot.
No, cannot do that.
Is not.
If there is one person who can play...
What?
the most non-humble guy on the planet.
Oh,
Ross,
my God.
It's Ross Patterson.
It's Ross
Patterson. Ross
Patterson
can play.
Just have
fucking...
them listen to a couple of these episodes and they'll be like, oh, yes, he's our guy.
Woo!
Yeah, he like won't ever let her talk. He only talks about himself.
Well, you don't deserve to. You don't deserve to that much.
No,
but you got no docs on your calendar.
Well, there are the second season of Making a Murderer.
When does that start?
Well, they just started filming. They said...
They've been filming for a while. Don't let them fool you on that.
Well, they said late 2017, but I'm sure...
We're getting there. We're
but
in October.
But these appeal processes take so fucking long that like...
Yeah, but the kid got out. He went back to court. Like, they should have shit on him. And you know they weren't filming, right?
Yeah, but then that's that. Like, I want to know the deal with Stephen Avery. Like,
I think he's fucking
Dassey's out. Yeah. Like, he's done. He's out. They got like that was too obvious. Like how they railroaded him and false confession and everything. Avery is the one that I'm like is the most polarizing because you're just like, I don't know. You say you know, but I don't.
I think it's something to do
like,
with
I
it.
Don't. Maybe I guess. Yeah.
I think he sat around with a bunch of his buddies and they fucking murdered her. That's my guess.
But God, what? How weird.
I don't know. It's strange, man. You want to speak about weird? You say they found fucking Paul Revere's goddamn outhouse today? They found Paul Revere's outhouse and they're digging that shit up right now.
Really?
They're excavating it. All of it. I'm dead serious. And they want to look at his shit. So I read the article. They want to look at his shit. They want to see what kind of food that they were eating back in the day. I got way too deep in this today, this fucking article. And it was in the Boston Globe, I believe. The Boston Globe. And they were like, it's really vital to tell, you know, like what American heroes and things like that. Like what if they were fit, if they were in shape. And they also said that they could find like, you know, a number of artifacts, like close to 300 that were thrown into the toilets. And I was like, what the fuck? And I started,
like what?
And I'm like, why? And I guess they didn't have like trash cans or shit like that. So you used to throw things in the outhouse. And today, no lie, at the end of this article, they held up half of like an old handle from a beer stein. Like that was broken off.
Ooh.
Yeah, they held that up and they were like, this was inside the toilet of Paul Revere's outhouse.
Cool.
Like, fuck, he must have broken his beer stein and then threw the handle out in the toilet. And it was just like, come on, man.
That's some museum shit. I don't give a fuck about that.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
It's some boring ass museum shit.
I know. The fucking outhouse. Like, the outhouse. Is his real house preserved? Do we know if Paul Revere's real house is preserved?
It must have been, right?
I'd be curious about that. One would think, because they said they found it outside of his house,
yeah,
that it was right behind it. And I was like, how the fuck did you not know it was there all along? And what made you go looking for it now? Because they had to dig down deep. And they were like, yeah, you know, we had to dig down close to 6 feet because that's how deep the outhouses were back then.
Oh, okay.
And it was one of the weirdest stories. I was like, what? One of the weirdest stories of all time. Like, just to know what was in his shit to see if he was a healthy hero or not.
Right.
If he was a healthy hero or what other artifacts were in there.
Right.
I can tell you this. If they're throwing all your stuff in the fucking toilet, in the shitter.
Right.
Chances are those artifacts are just bullshit. Like, just bullshit items. Half a beer stein handle.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Money. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no, Paul Revere used to drink beer. The fuck? Who in Boston didn't in the fucking 1700s? Come on, man.
I don't care about a lot of things, but that.
Yeah.
That's bottom somebody, of the list.
By the way, and bottom the people that were digging it and posing for these photos today, mm-mm, happiest motherfuckers on the face of planet. They were digging up an outhouse from the 1700s.
Beat it, nerd. Get out of my fucking face. Yeah. If you're excited about that,
they were lose super, my number. Super amped about this fucking outhouse.
That's cool.
And I was like, holy shit. But it also gave me hope that there is a job out there for everyone and you can be happy doing things. And, you know, if excavating an outhouse, if it brings you that much smiles, and keeps away the cries.
Then who am I?
Who am I to fucking judge? Because again, if you find this picture of them digging this shitter up, you're going to see two of the happiest motherfuckers on the face of the planet where they were like, this is amazing.
There's a top for every pot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to, God, if I was thinking about this today, if I was going to dig up somebody's old shitter, like who would it be? I think I'd go Lincoln.
Yeah, of course you would.
I want to know about them logs, those Lincoln logs. I think I'd go Link or G Dubs.
G Dubs.
Only because everybody said George Washington used to smoke weed. So it was like, if he's smoking weed, I bet you there'd be roaches. You know, they could find some old roaches and be like, oh, shit. He really was smoking weed, that motherfucker.
Sure. It wasn't out of a little pipe, like a corn cob.
What was it? Dazed and Confused? It said, yeah, Martha used to fucking bring that shit to him, man. And he used to fucking harvest it. He used to harvest the crops and he would smoke the weed. So I think if you're going to dig up a shitter, you go G Dubs and see if there's any roaches in there. I'm just a personal Lincoln fan.
Sure.
You know, and that's me. So I would want to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You seem like,
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to actually go. You can name a couple more if you want. But if you think that I'm going to tell you which shitter, who in history I'd like to, I'm not even going to actually, like, I don't. I'm so sorry. Like I said, I don't care about a lot of things, and this is below the, like, bottom of the barrel of shit that I don't care about. But go on. What's another one that you think that you would want to?
I found it fascinating, Jesse.
And I know that you did. And like a lot of things that I find fascinating that you're like, shut up. I don't want to hear about it. But I love you. And so you keep going.
But again, I find it fascinating from the aspect of.
Sure.
The fact that there are people that are happy to do this in life.
Okay. Well, from that perspective, like. I can explore that.
What about the fucking 700 pounds of mushrooms they found in that guy's house today?
I'm down with that.
Right?
down with that.
They're just fucking,
I used to get loose on mushrooms.
Yeah, and they're just, they're going to fucking burn them or something. Like, what did the cops do with those? They burn them?
I know. No, they have, they to should keep just them, give them out to like cool people. And then like,
they should have a, like a, just a giveaway, like a, or like a silent auction. I got a thing today from my buddy, Thad Haynes. I don't know if he listens to the show or not, but one of my
do you go to a game with him?
Yeah. One of my beef fries from college. He sent me this thing from the Georgia Dome. They're blowing up the Georgia Dome in Atlanta where the Falcons used to play because they built a new stadium. So it's going to be parking, but they're selling the items from inside the dome that you can buy online, like banners. Like you can buy, like,
I remember when
the
they
30
did that
yard line
Yankee Stadium.
Yes.
I wanted like the randomest
chairs.
Shit. Yeah,
I wanted
the
chairs from Yankee Stadium.
I really would have taken anything.
When he sent this to me, I was like, all right, well, you can buy the field for the Falcons. But when he sent it to me, I was like, all right, cool. It'd be dope if they're selling the chairs in that motherfucker. Because there was 90,000 chairs in there. No, they weren't doing that. what they were selling was the men's restroom signs and the women's restroom signs. It was like, but it said the section on it, like 117. And it was just like, what are you going to do? Buy that, frame it, and then just tell your kids, man, I used to unleash a fucking healthy piss.
I couldn't go longer than a half an hour, man. Well,
every time I sat in my seats in section 117, I used to fucking unleash in there. so this sign meant a lot to me. And now I'm giving it to you because I'm going to die one day.
Passing it on to you.
I'm going to die one day and this is going to go to you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think it's funny, but
they should
like
do it,
to
they
put
should do
on,
mushrooms.
Like if your house was like super like awesomely decorated with vintage shit, like to have that on your bathroom door, like that'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, I guess.
No?
No. It was a fucking pretty modern sign. It looked like it could have been from anywhere, any middle school in America.
But it's not.
It's from the Georgia Dome. Man, I used to fucking unleash. Man, it was almost like my zipper was busting open.
You used to always get lost. Remember after you went up there?
Oh, 117.
You get lost.
Man, the pisser they had in there was fucking incredible.
The trough.
Oh, God.
The trough in 117.
Man, it was spectacular. I remember some guy asked me one time, hey, man, are you shaking it or are you playing with it? And I was like,
yeah. At this point, you're just on vacation.
Yeah, man, if you shake it more than twice, you're jerking it. that brings us to the revolution figure of the day, by the way. Oh. The Rev Fig of the Day. This one goes out to Robert Flaherty. Robert Flaherty was the man. It was a man who did the first official documentary, or nonfiction narrative, as they call it, ever, which was an ethnographic look at the harsh life of Canadian Inuit Eskimos living in the Arctic.
Oh, fascinating.
God damn it.
Can I get my hands on that?
Oh, it was in 1922. Jesus. Can you imagine?
Oh.
Could you imagine watching that? I'd rather bash
God,
my
I feel
dick
like,
in with a fucking...
Because I took like film theory or something and like I feel like I've seen parts of it.
I don't
like
know.
This
maybe.
Choppy... Yes.
Maybe. I remember the first ever film ever is called A Birth of a Nation.
Yeah.
And I watched that. Like they played that for us. And there was... After Ohio State, I went to NYU for theater and... On Fridays, they had this class called Film History.
Yes.
And it went all day. And it was, after the first one, I skipped it. I was like, this is fucking bullshit. Because you have a teacher who's giving their opinion on film and why the film was made and what you were foreshadowing and all this other bullshit. And I was like, man, you weren't there, motherfucker. You don't know what happened. Like after producing and all that stuff, I was just like, dude, you know.
They just didn't have money.
Yeah, they didn't have money. It was raining. The actor was horrible. Like, you know, there was a million different reasons for a scene to work or not work and all this other stupid shit. And like, I knew it then. And I was, you know, 22. I was like, fuck, I knew this then. And I was like, man, I'm fucking deucing on this. This is fucking ridiculous.
On it?
Yeah.
Did you take a shit in
I took
the
a
class?
Shit. I took a shit in the class.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm deucing on this, yeah. Huh? And it was That's my, what that means, right?
Yeah, it was my first short film. It was called Shitskis. it's available on
Shitskis
on Hulu.
For everyone. Can I give a little shout out?
You can.
My brother, Daniel Wiseman,
yeah,
has graduated from college. He has his Bachelor of Science,
yeah,
in Computer Technology.
Look
and
at
it's
that.
Been a long road, and he is military, he's Air Force, he you know.
He's
I
awesome.
Know.
That's great.
It's,
congratulations.
It's like really
is he
amazing.
Listening to the show?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. So I just want to say fucking congrats, dude. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Bachelor of Science is like that's some gnarly shit. So yeah. It's not like our
yeah,
our little
Bachelor of Arts.
Mm-hmm.
My journalism degree is
yeah.
bullshit.
No,
my
it's,
communications
it's
degree
really
is
cool,
bullshit.
And I'm super proud of
no,
him.
That's awesome.
So.
That's super fucking awesome.
And the military awesome. Helped him, you know,
GI
do
Bill.
That and get through that. No. So all around amazingness.
You know, I've there's, you know, obviously on our sister show, Drinking Bros, a lot of veterans listen. I hope they do to this show. I don't know. But
I think so.
But I hear a lot of amazing stories about how the military has helped pay for college, and
yeah.
It's great. It's great to hear stories like that. So congratulations.
Congrats, bro.
Cheers.
Cheers
to Daniel.
Daniel.
For Jesse Wiseman, aka the Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.